This is David Harlow at Health Blog, and I have with me today Earl Jones, who is the Senior Vice President and General Manager for eHealth at GE Healthcare IT. Hello, Earl. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being with us, Earl. I have to ask you a first question as we start off today is I'd like to ask you to define eHealth. That is the definition of your bailiwick.
Sure. So eHealth speaks to this concept of the connected healthcare ecosystem. So I think all of us as professionals in the healthcare industry, but also as patients in the healthcare industry, deal with frustrating issues associated with moving clinical information from provider to provider. The classic use cases that we talk about are mom goes to the hospital where their kids would really love to have medical information from their primary care physician. That information isn't available to the hospitalist at the time of care treatment. Trying to get information from the hospital back to your primary care physician. Those are challenging. That ability to move clinical information around the healthcare community is causes problems at that care level. It also causes it precludes us from getting at some real opportunities to improve the healthcare system, like making cross-enterprise workflows faster, easier, cheaper, allowing us to do new care models like managing chronic diseases better, like bringing things like clinical decision support and population health to bear. So eHealth speaks to this concept of the things that we can do in the connected healthcare ecosystem. We define eHealth more structurally as at its core, health information exchange, the ability to take health information exchange and to do things with it, so collaborative workflows, and then trying to bring performance applications like quality reporting and clinical decision support and make those things available across the enterprise. So that's what we think about when we think about eHealth.
Okay, great. And this division or this business unit within GE Healthcare has been formalized within the past 6 to 12 months, I believe, or maybe slightly more recently than that.
Yeah.
And is that a structural change? Is that a new focus for GE Healthcare, or is this a new name for what you've been doing previously?
So I think it might be helpful to put GE Healthcare IT into context. GE Healthcare, as you know, we're a big global healthcare technology provider. GE Healthcare is about an $18 billion business and does three things primarily. GE Healthcare does diagnostic technology, MRI, CT, PET, ultrasound. Focused on core healthcare technology. GE Healthcare does life sciences. So protein synthesis, for example, biomarkers, the whole area of life sciences. And then the third part of GE Healthcare is GE Healthcare IT. And so we're a multi-billion dollar global healthcare IT provider, and GE Healthcare IT has traditionally done three things. Imaging systems, so radiological information systems, picture archiving, software for hospitals, and then software for physician practices. This concept of eHealth, we started it as a new product line last year, but it was really born out of work that we started about 5 years ago, long before health information exchange or eHealth were topical issues like they are today. We started this issue with a handful of our customers a few years ago, who just had this problem of, wow, I wish we could share clinical information within our community. And we started working with them around terminology, around hosting services, around translation, deduplication services, really putting that core infrastructure in place that allows clinical information sharing. So it's something we've been doing for several years. But last year, we elected to break this out into its own business unit for a couple of reasons. One is certainly with the stimulus that's happening here nationally, and there's a lot of stimulus and attention on e-health infrastructure globally, we thought it would be a little easier to talk about ourselves and what we're doing for our customers with our technology. The second is, and I think it's an important issue, is it's important to keep in mind that if you really want to enable cross-community clinical information sharing, you have to be able to do it in a technology-agnostic way. This can't be about sharing information amongst GE systems, you know, from hospital to doctor's office to specialty facility. It's got to be able to share. We got to be able to share clinical information in the environment that our customers live in, and that environment is heterogeneous software applications, disconnected, variety of terminologies, variety of you know, the continuum along adoption of standards varies dramatically. I mean, that's the technical and systems complexity that our customers live in, and so it's important for us to break this out into its own product line to really send the message that this isn't about GE-centricity connectivity. It's about enabling clinical information sharing in the environments that our customers live in without having to rip and replace any software.
Well, that sort of information sharing really sounds like the holy grail of health IT. And I'm wondering how successful you've been or where you see yourself on the trajectory of really implementing that kind of connectivity.
You know, we feel like this has a transformative potential. This whole movement of connected care has a transformative potential in healthcare. And let me characterize this by an example. You know, I spent a lot of my early career in supply chain, and I was there when the factory couldn't talk to the warehouse, and you literally would have to write down, you know, material pulls on a piece of paper and send a runner off to go get material. And in the span of a relatively short amount of time, 15 years, we went from that to a globally connected supply chain. And every metric that you can think of in supply chain got better. Profitability, performance, service level, velocity, new business models were created. It was transformative when we connected trading partners in supply chain. And I think it's that kind of analogy, that kind of parallel, is exactly we're on the precipice or the beginning phases of seeing that happen in healthcare. And we've been working with customers that are doing some very interesting things. You know, one of our customers is the Boston Medical Center. And the Boston Medical Center is connected, you know, it's an inner city hospital here in Boston, connected with, I think, 13 unaffiliated clinics. So clinics that have a different governance structure from Boston Medical Center. And they came together and they said, wouldn't it be great if we could share clinical information in our community? And they did that using our health information exchange technology, and they're doing some really fun things with it, right? They're able to do things like help emergency room doctors make better care decisions. So, it's tough being an ER doc. You know, an ER doc, gets a patient, may have no medical history of the patient, and oftentimes they're dealing with some pretty acute issues. Now, at the Boston Medical Center, if a patient comes in, if they're part of the community and belong to one of the community clinics, if there's no medical record at the ER, at the Boston Medical Center for the patient, the ER doc can look into the local clinics and via the health information exchange and get information about the patient. And these can be life-saving kinds of information, things like allergies, medications that the patient are on. Being able to get that kind of clinical information to an ER doc is important. They're also doing using the Health Information Exchange to enable a better way of doing referrals management, which in healthcare is a awkward and expensive process that often ends with a lot of patient and doctor frustration because it's not well managed from an information perspective. They're doing population health, right? They're able to now, because they're sharing clinical information in their community, they're able to understand the overall impact of some of their patient outreach programs because they can actually see it in the data whether they're making a difference. So, here we are, Boston, small hospital with a relatively small community doing some really important things in their community because they're able to share clinical information. That's kind of exciting.
It is. And I guess the next step is to see whether this can be bridged beyond a local system where it's a dozen or so community health centers that are affiliated with Boston Medical Center and take that beyond. So someone who is away from home, out of town, goes into an emergency room. Can those records be pulled up remotely, or is that something that you see us heading towards?
Yeah, I think we're squarely in the early adoption phase of this whole e-health program. I mean, we're in the first steps of the first mile of a marathon. But, in the span, looking at parallels in other industries, I mean, if we stay committed, if we continue to focus on value, in span of, what could also be a relatively short amount of time, it's not inconceivable that we'll have the way to share information nationally for the betterment of care providers and patients. So we're not there yet. I mean, you can think of where we're heading as lily pads on a pond, that, we're going to see a lot of community health exchanges like Boston Medical Center pop up and start filling the pond. And the good news is that organizations like IHE have been thinking about how do we make these lily pods, how do we make these community health information exchanges work together. And so there are good protocols and methodologies for cross-community access of information that over time we'll see get built out.
I'm sorry. Are you optimistic about some of the federal initiatives building on the ARRA and High Tech Act initiatives on local medical record systems to build out the NHAN Connect or other sorts of interchange infrastructures through Beacon Communities or other programs?
Yeah, I give ONC a lot of credit. This is a thorny problem, a lot of stakeholders, a lot of different ways to come at this. And, what they've done is they said, look, here are some functional requirements of things that we want to try to get accomplished because they're going to make the healthcare system better. And, and here's $42 billion to help get you going. And if you aren't adopting technology for the betterment of our national healthcare system in a handful of years, then we're going to, move from carrot to stick. Just conceptually, what they're trying to do from an overall change management perspective makes a ton of sense. And it really, by any measure, what the ONC has done has really crystallized this concept of connected care in our industry. NHIN is interesting. I think NHIN's evolving. I'm not sure what NHIN will look like, whether it'll be, servers moving data or it will be just a concept that we're building toward. I don't know what that's going to look like in the future, and I'm not sure, ONC does. I think it's something that's evolving, and I think that's okay. This concept of Beacon Communities, which you brought up, I think is brilliant. You know, in any large organization, change management, and by any definition, trying to change the U.S. healthcare system is a large organization change management problem. One of the best ways drive momentum behind a change program is to create showcases. You know, let's go create some examples of where people are, you know, out ahead of the curve in technology adoption, out ahead of the curve in thinking through new processes and ways of using data and bringing communities together, and using those showcases sort of as beacons to bring the rest of the organization along. And, you know, in context of that, I thought the Beacon Community Program was brilliant. And, you know, let's hope that the monies that get flown down to the Beacon communities when the final grants are announced, you know, let's hope that the folks put that money to good use and really create some spectacular showcases that prove the case for why connected healthcare is so important.
Right. Now, we might say that the government gives with one hand and maybe takes away with the other. In concert with the grant-making and incentive-producing rules and regulations that have been coming out, there is also now discussion about regulation of healthcare IT as a device by authority of the Food and Drug Administration. I guess some would say that you can't really serve two masters, and that the federal government should come up with some sort of integrated approach on e-health and EHRs and other related systems and programs. The FDA is working with ONC on trying to develop a way to work together, I suppose. And I'm wondering if you could speak to your experience with these organizations, with these agencies, and where do you see this heading? Where would you expect this to end up? Where would you like this to end up, if you could speak to that?
You know, the FDA often gets a tough rap because, you know, their job is a tough one. You know, they really perform an important public service, which is ensuring that things like healthcare are out there for the betterment of the citizens of the nation and aren't doing negative things around helping improve people's health and welfare. So, you know, they have a tough job, and I have tremendous respect for the professionals that work at FDA. And, you know, I think they wake up every day really thinking about how they do their job as best as they can do it to protect the citizens of the U.S. And as far as my experience has been, they've been very, very reasonable in their approaches. I think they could take some very draconian regulatory positions if all they wanted to do was, sort of think about their job only as a regulator. But I've always found them to be very, open in thinking about how to work through a problem in a balanced way. And as far as I can tell, when it comes to health records, they're doing that very thing. You know, they haven't just launched into saying, look, you know, we're going to go regulate it. And they haven't said that this is off the table either, because I think they recognize the importance of IT in the overall healthcare care continuum. So, from my observation, is that they're taking a very measured approach. All I can say is, however it comes out, you know, GE is no stranger to regulated environments. We're ready for it. If it doesn't get regulated, that's fine too. You know, the only thing that I think we would encourage is that let's not slow the progress down that ONC is driving. I think we really do have some great momentum. You know, let's come at if it ends up regulated, let's come at it in a way that doesn't slow the market down. You know, and I think that calls for good balance, good collaboration, and my sense is that FDA's got that top of mind.
Right. Yeah, I think that the FDA may be working together with ONC so that some of these regulations may end up folded in to the meaningful use certification process. So to the extent that all can be harmonized, it would certainly be better than having to deal with two separate organizations. You spoke earlier about respecting the patient-centered aspects of healthcare IT, and I'm wondering whether you see this sort of regulation as a challenge to that, and also whether, you know, how you would characterize some of the work that your organization has been doing in meeting patients and sort of meeting the needs of patients in a patient-centered sort of way.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know, I think there's a lot of discussion around moving from a payer-provider-centric to let's go put the patient in the middle, because that's really, at the end of the day, what this is all about is care treatment of the patient. And I think it's a very healthy dialogue. The whole concept of electronic health records, and again, let me just be clear, electronic medical record, think of it as sitting on a computer in a doctor's office, you know, literally or virtually. Electronic health record is a sum aggregation of the health information of a patient that lives within a healthcare community. And this concept of electronic health record, you know, one patient, one record available to the primary and specialty care providers that are treating a patient, you know, that's a very patient-centric concept, which is absolutely what we're trying to enable with eHealth. You know, things like privacy and security, those things we take very seriously and are very integral parts of our health information exchange infrastructure. And, you know, so I think this whole focus of how do we empower patients more with better information, better tools, and do it in a safe, secure, private way is exactly what we're trying to do with our solutions.
Great. Now, one of the solutions or products that you're rolling out is Quilibrio, which was previewed or announced at the HIMSS conference a month or so ago. And I'm wondering if you could explain a little bit what that system is, what it's been built on, and how you see it rolling out.
Sure. You know, we are exceptionally excited about Quilibrio. Quilibrio is a clinical knowledge platform. So what does that mean? Let me characterize this by the problem that we were trying to solve with this technology. Dartmouth did a study and said, man, if everybody in the nation was as good as care treatment as the Mayo Clinic, of like, I don't know, it was $119 billion that was studied. They said $40 billion would have come off that number. If everybody was as good as Intermountain, something like $119 would have come off the number. And I'm probably misquoting the numbers, but the concept is, it turns out Mayo and Intermountain are really good at what they do, and if we could just harmonize and reduce the variation in care treatment across the country, we could take a substantial chunk of the cost out of the system by just providing better care. And there are a couple of other alarming stats that go along with this. One is that the medical body of knowledge is doubling every 8 years or more quickly. And I think we can go, wow, when all this genomic stuff starts hitting us and we start getting really targeted around the kind of care treatment based on genomic data, you can see the medical body of knowledge exploding even at a more accelerated rate. Tie that in with the fact that it may take as much as 17 years for a best practice to propagate out throughout the medical community. You quickly get this vision of, wow, there's a lot of variation in the quality of care delivered. And as it turns out, you know, we patients only get the best practice treatment for whatever, you know, disease state or illness or injury that we're dealing with. We only get the best practice care treatment a little over half the time, like 55% of the time. So the problem Calibri was trying to solve was, wow, can IT do something to make that better? And it turns out it's really hard. You know, the things that Mayo and Intermountain are doing, you know, they're built, you know, they're instantiated in their own systems, but they're pretty complicated, you know, sort of flowchart processes for treating something like acute respiratory disorder, right? I mean, it can be as detailed as at this time turn the respirator to this value, give the medication certain minutes, you know, after this care treatment. Trying to take that and do it in a system like Intermountain's hard. Trying to translate that across systems, turns out you had to just rethink the architecture. And that's what we did with Calibria. So with this partnership with Intermountain and Mayo, we launched into a total rethink of a technology architecture, which includes a pretty advanced clinical element model and something like, I don't know, several tens of thousands of rules that are then built on top of the clinical element model that allow you to take complex terminologies, draw insights and attributes from that, and use that clinical element model to create decision support tools. And that's and Calibria is our first product that's going to roll out from the partnership with Intermountain, and it's designed to do that very thing, which is take disparate information, aggregate, and be able to put single-patient, multi-patient views with clear alerts and processes and tracking that can immediately become useful in a, you know, I don't have to rip anything and replace it, drop it in and immediately become useful in a hospital clinical setting in driving better coordinated care. So it's very exciting.
You sound excited. It sounds like a very exciting project and product. Do you see this rolling out beyond Intermountain and Mayo in the near future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think our product plan is so it's up and running now, and to roll it out to a couple more of controlled sites the balance of this year for more broad national rollout in 2011. And will quickly be followed by international rollouts as well. So it's like I said, it's something that we put a lot of research and development money into. We've got great partners that are helping us, and I think it's important to point out that we love Mayo, we love Intermountain. I mean, their bona fides are tremendous. But there are a number of healthcare institutions that are doing some really wonderful things in advancing the medical body of knowledge on specific care protocol treatments. And this technology can allow them to better and more quickly roll out the things that they learn as well. You know, you can build your rules right into the tool. So it's while we'll have care bundles that are mapped after what Intermountain and Mayo do, it's also going to be a wonderful environment to quickly take the things that hospital systems are doing in an excellent fashion themselves and instantiating that in a tool that can be rolled out across their enterprise.
Uh-huh. Now, with this new kind of tool, do you have a concern about new kinds of liabilities, legal liabilities, as you are essentially rolling out, as you said, bundles of decision support rules? Does that not come along with additional liabilities, whether it's the content or the application of the rules, or even perhaps a different kind of liability in terms of encountering corrupted data or other sorts of problems rather than with the decision support rules themselves?
Well, you know, I'm not the best person to answer that question. Certainly we take all of these things tremendously seriously, it's been very well thought through. You know, this isn't, but it's important to say this isn't a, none of this replaces the need to have experienced care professionals orchestrating the care delivery, right? This isn't let's get rid of docs and nurses. This is about how do we help docs and nurses deal with the tremendous complexity and the tremendous body of knowledge and the time variant change of the body of knowledge. It's about giving them some tools that can help them do their jobs better. So I think that's a very important distinction that you know, I think there's a statement that says the something to the effect that the complexity of modern healthcare surpasses the human mind to sort of get your mind around. I mean, it's too big for anybody. And so we think that what we're trying to do is not replace docs and nurses, quite the opposite. It's give them some important tools to help them do their jobs better.
So are these tools part of what the company has been referring to as healthy imagination and a large investment in innovation in healthcare?
They're certainly part of healthy imagination. So let's talk about healthy. And first, I'm going to talk about something different. I'm going to talk about eco-imagination. So we launched this program about 5 years ago called Eco-Imagination. And at the time, one of the real pressing global issues is the environment. It still is. You know, it's a huge, huge problem. And you know, Jeff Immelt, to his great credit, stood back and said, you know, as a General Electric company, we can be doing more to help this important issue of environmental sustainability. He said, let's do it like an operating company like GE ought to do it, which is let's set ourselves some clear goals, clear metrics, and really rally behind this, not just as a fad initiative, but as something that becomes part of our culture and DNA. And we called it eco-imagination. We said we're going to invest more in environmentally friendly technologies. We're going to do our job to try to inform the public on issues related to the environment. And then we're going to try to walk the talk and reduce our own greenhouse gas emissions as an enterprise. And that was launched a handful of years ago, and it was just a smashing success. Great for our employees, great for our customers, and really it was a revitalization of our culture around environmental sustainability. A couple years ago, Jeff sort of took a step back and said, healthcare is going to be, it is and will continue to be a pressing global problem of tremendous importance and magnitude. And not only are we a big healthcare technology company, but GE pays a tremendous amount of money, you know, several billions of dollars in healthcare costs each year. And he said, we can be doing more as a General Electric company to lead in the evolution of healthcare. So in a parallel construct, we launched this initiative called Healthy Imagination. And again, we said, as a good operating company, what are we trying to do? And it's really focused around bringing innovative technologies. It doesn't mean high technologies. It means innovative technologies, things that some may be high technology, some may be low technology, but innovative technologies to help improve quality of care delivered, reduce the cost of care delivered, and improve access. And again, we're going to put about $6 billion of investment into technologies globally aimed at these three metrics. We're doing our job to inform the public about issues related to healthcare. You know, we launched the largest advertising campaign in the General Electric Company's history, I believe, earlier in the year, concurrent with the Olympics, with some really lovely, sometimes funny, sometimes poignant commercials around healthcare. And I think they were very, very well received. And so Healthy Imagination is more than an initiative. Again, it's a major focus of the company, again, trying to get at culture DNA around thinking about healthcare differently and making sure that we as the General Electric Company are doing our part to try to help the world improve on cost, quality, and access of healthcare.
Okay. Well, thank you. So Any last words on what you're doing now and how you see your division moving forward under the High Tech Act and now under the new health reform law?
Well, you know, certainly we're very happy about the High Tech Act. That's been great for the industry. You know, I don't know that a whole lot of some money's flowing down, so it's been great. But more than anything else, it really has gotten people galvanized and motivated and gained some momentum around changing the landscape of health care IT, which is great. But by the way, this is happening on a global basis. So sometimes we like to think about the world as being, you know, the 50 states here. But there are some folks in China, in Singapore, in India, in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, in Europe, in Brazil. I mean, folks are really doing some innovative things with healthcare IT globally. And so e-health is absolutely playing in that arena. So we're you know, very focused on delivering value for our customers here domestically, but frankly just very focused and very passionate about the opportunities to help health systems and countries on a global basis as well. You know, with reform, with healthcare, High Tech Act, with all of that, you know, the challenge that we have, and I think maybe other people have it as well, is not to get carried away. You know, we got to stay good at what we do, which is sort of stick to our knitting, if you will, which is, you know, working with hospitals, working with IDNs, working with health information organizations, but you know, working with folks around delivering real, concrete, measurable value. And I think as long as we do that and stay focused on solving the problems and pain and enabling new care delivery models, enabling new transparency and performance reporting, as long as we stay focused on what we do well, I think we feel very good about the future. We love all the reform. We love the High Tech Act, but I don't want to get carried away and focus on chasing that money. I think we're just going to stay focused on trying to solve hard problems for our customers.
Sounds like a plan. Well, thank you very much. I've been speaking with Earl Jones, Senior Vice President and General Manager for eHealth at GE Healthcare IT. And this, again, is David Harlow on Health Blog. Thank you once more.